This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
We'll go around the horn and say good morning. I have a feeling, Chris Canty, I'm feeling you're probably in a very good mood on a Monday morning. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, my neighbors.
Benvenuta.
Little tip of the cap to Coming to America, which debuted on this date back in 1988. But I'm doing good, guys. Good weekend. Told you guys about my plans to play golf. I ended up canceling that because of the heat outside. And I played yesterday morning, and although my round didn't look like Dustin Johnson's round on Saturday, still had a pretty good round, had some fun. So it was a good weekend for me, guys. How about you guys?
Well, I'm doing well. I had a nice weekend, was enjoying a lovely dinner last night when I started to receive a whole host of text messages. And I realized a couple things as I started to receive these text messages. First of all, the Patriots do what the Patriots do, which is unbelievable. And second of all, I actually, honestly, one of my first thoughts was, I wonder if Rick is seeing this before he goes to bed, or he's not going to see this till the middle of the night when he wakes up to start his day. But before we even go there, good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. Good morning, Christopher. How do you think I'm doing? I mean, you have to ask me that question?
Well, I'm a friend. I'm a teammate. I'm checking in on you.
I'm beside myself. Just like I'm sure every Jets fan I know is besides themselves. I got it coming in from both sides, too. Not only was I awake, I'm getting text messages from Pete and Such in Boston. I'm getting text messages from my dad, of all people, who couldn't name two Patriots. He's more impressed with Robert Kraft going to Orchids of Asia than he is the six Super Bowls. I got him texting me, talking trash. And then I got my Jets buddies that want to get on FaceTime, have a house party, to have a session where we just go back and forth and complain. That's what I dealt with last night. And then this morning, it sounds like the World Lumberjack Championships are happening outside my door. I got trees being cut down and everything else.
It's the chipmunk is what it is.
It's unbelievable. I can't take it, Dave. I can't take it.
This
is not how I expected my Monday to start.
I mean, listen, we talked about this for months, and then people started to say, the experts start to say, it's not going to happen. He's not going to wind up there. And I always had this weird thought of, I just didn't see Jared Stidham as the heir apparent to one Tom Brady. And here we are. Cam Newton, former MVP of the NFL, is now, you'd have to imagine, going to be the starting quarterback when we get to the start of the 2020 NFL season for New England. I mean, you could argue, and I was watching Get Up this morning, they had the argument, is he a better fit for this system right now than Tom Brady? I mean, if he's healthy, you've maybe, at a minimum, not downgraded, you've just, stayed pat. Because he's a good quarterback when he's healthy.
Well, I think he's more dynamic than Tom Brady is because you have the element of him being able to run the football. And when you add him to that running game, the Patriots with their two guards, Shaq Mason and Joe Thuney, and then you have Evan Andrews coming back from injury, that, that guard center guard trio should be a pretty strong engine for your run game. And then you incorporate the threat of your quarterback being able to run the football. It's going to make it really tough to defend, Dave. I mean, so I think that with where the Patriots offense was at last year and those young wide receivers trying to get up to speed in terms of being able to contribute to Belichick's offense, I think that's Cam Newton being able to run creates more opportunities for everybody else in that offense. So I don't think it would look as stagnant as it did at times last year. I mean, for as bad as the Patriots offense looked last year, it was still good enough to win them 12 games. And so when you look at what Cam Newton brings to the table, his ability to be a threat in the running game, if he's healthy, being able to be an effective passer, push the ball down the field, I just think that complements that defense really well. The Patriots, to me, are a really dangerous team. I would actually put them as higher three or four in the conference in terms of the outlook for the season. I think Cam Newton can be that much of a difference maker for that team.
In a loaded AFC, if he's healthy, this is a nightmare. If he's healthy, this is a nightmare for, I mean, me as a Jets
fan. For everyone.
The AFC East, period. I mean, for everyone. I mean, this was a season where all of a sudden Tom Brady's gone. Buffalo feels good about their chances. Division is hopefully wide open. And now all of a sudden, I mean, last time we keep saying if healthy. Last time we saw Cam Newton healthy, he was 6-2 and looked like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL before he took that huge hit from, I know it's TJ Watt. And then it was downhill from there. But if he's healthy, this is a real problem. And then on top of it, I got Jamal Adams congratulating the Patriots and Bill Belichick on the signing.
Can we stop? I get that he's unhappy as a member of the Jets and he wants to get paid, but can we stop? Can he grow up a little bit? Really? He needs to go out and congratulate the Patriots on the signing?
I hear what you're saying, Dave, but at the same time, it felt a little ridiculous that a former MVP and a guy that took his team to the Super Bowl in 2015 didn't have a job in the NFL. Like, that feels ridiculous.
Oh, I agree with that. But this is your, the team that you're desperately trying to best. They've been better than you forever. This is your arch rival. I mean, at least
no, that's for fans, Dave. That's not for players. That's for fans. That's not for players.
I don't know. I mean, you say you don't know. I'm telling you. I get he wants to get paid, but just stop. You don't need to be commenting on this,
Dave. You're looking at this the wrong way, man. I mean, players in the NFL root for Cam Newton. Like, I know we're all out there competing against each other week in and week out, but I mean, you saw the reaction from Richard Sherman. I mean, players felt like it was strange that Cam Newton wasn't getting an opportunity to play in the National Football League. And when you look around the landscape of the NFL and see some of the quarterbacks on certain teams, especially the guys that are teams' backup quarterbacks, it was ridiculous that Cam Newton didn't have more interest.
And I completely agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
Now, that's in part because of how the Carolina Panthers did him and releasing him so late in the offseason after the first wave of free agency where all the big contracts were doled out. But I think a lot of guys around the NFL were rooting for Cam Newton to catch on and have an opportunity to compete for a starting job. So I'm not going to criticize Jamal Adams for coming out there on Twitter and saying that he was happy that Belichick gave him an opportunity.
I don't need Jamal Adams doing this. Not with the team that you're competing with to try to win this division.
Like I said, Dave, that's for fans. That's not for players. Players don't feel that way. We don't.
Yeah, but to Chris's point, I mean, to Dave's point, he's turning off the fan base. I think that's Dave's point.
Well, he's trying to, and he's doing a great job of it.
I mean, it's just on top of the fact that he's asked for a trade and everything else. I mean, he's the fans that love Jamal Adams they probably had enough of this at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the most beloved Jet, and now all of a sudden that's kind of turned.
Well, he's doing everything in his power to not be the most beloved Jet, and he will get there very soon.
Yeah, well, but unfortunately, he doesn't have control of the situation. Joe Douglas does.
Mm-hmm. So he's going to do everything that he can to make this as uncomfortable as possible.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, he could still be a Jet, is the point. I mean, that's the point that you're making, is that he may want to trade. He may hate being a Jet, but he may, I mean, very well end up being still a Jet. So why would you continue to poke at the fan base?
Well, that's what I don't understand.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand either. And as far as Cam Newton is concerned, this was the perfect storm. I think the lack of interest early on was, I mean, you're talking about a quarterback, one of the best dual-threat quarterbacks we've ever seen, that had surgery on his throwing shoulder and had surgery on his foot. Throwing shoulder and foot. I mean, that would make me nervous, especially with the timing. And I agree with Chris 100%. Carolina did him dirty the way they released him, how late they released him.
Well, they did it on purpose.
Yeah. Well, I know they did. That stupid tweet they sent out where, you know, who's the GOAT of the franchise and he's not even listed as one of the GOATs of the franchise. So, I mean, this was, because I think Cam Newton is at a point. He's too good to be a backup. He's not a backup. He's a starting quarterback. He's 31 years old. When healthy, he's still an upper echelon quarterback. There are teams where he would fit. Jacksonville being one of those teams, I don't think they really want to win. Mm-hmm. He's too good because they're trying to lose as many games as possible.
Correct.
I don't understand what the Chargers are doing. Maybe at, you know.
How about the Bears?
Yeah, the Bears don't make much sense to me.
That move was already done, though. Like,
yeah, that move was done.
That move.
And that was a relationship move, too. Nick Foles knows the offense.
Yeah, because he was
that was part
City.
Of that too.
Yeah.
So I think this was, I mean, what Cam Newton is willing to accept, and when you see the deal, I mean, I think that's why everyone's praising Bill Belichick.
But that's why it's so crazy to me, Rick. I mean, we cited the injuries, the throwing shoulder injury, which he had surgery for, the foot surgery that he had. But when you're talking about a base salary of a couple million bucks, I mean, there is no downside to that if you're an NFL
I don't, but Chris, to finish my point, I don't know if Cam Newton was going to accept that kind of contract from anyone else but the Patriots. Because he can clearly be the starting quarterback. You got Belichick. And let's not forget, Josh McDaniels drafted Tim Tebow. I mean, this is a kind of offense that interests Josh McDaniels to have a quarterback like Cam Newton.
I think it interests every NFL offense because that's where the league is going. You're moving toward quarterbacks that can use their legs as well as their arms. I mean, look at the top five quarterbacks in our league. All of them have the ability to move outside of the pocket, to extend the down, and to be a legitimate threat running the football. All of them do. So I think this is the new age of NFL offenses. And to be able to have a quarterback that gives Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick that option, I think that's an interesting-looking wrinkle. I really do. And when you look at Bill Belichick and him being motivated to prove that he can win without Tom Brady, and then Cam Newton being motivated to prove the Carolina Panthers and all the other doubters wrong, I think that's a scary combination. Because if you get Cam Newton willing to buy into everything that Bill Belichick is preaching, I mean, I just feel like this is going to be an offense that's going to be really tough to stop. And I tell you guys all the time, from a defensive game planning perspective, there is no good defensive call for a quarterback that can use his legs and run. There isn't. Doesn't matter what defense you line up in, doesn't matter what personnel grouping you line up in, your defense can't account for everyone when your quarterback can use his legs.
And there's no better proof. I mean, you're talking about one of the best defensive minds in the history of professional football, maybe the best, in Bill Belichick, and Cam Newton ate their lunch.
Twice, yeah.
I mean, yeah, twice. I mean, look at the numbers. I mean, you're talking about a guy, he ran the ball 15 times for 106 yards. I mean, he dominated that Patriots defense. So, I mean, I agree with what you're saying, but if I'm Cam Newton, same thing could be said about Jameis Winston. I mean, those are both perfect situations where you're taking less money because you're making an investment in yourself. Like, you're making an investment in your career. I don't think Cam Newton would have taken less money, this kind of contract, in any other situation.
Well, I mean, we'll never know that, but here's the one thing I will say. Adam Schefter said it this morning on Get Up, and he said it last night on SportsCenter, that there was no interest for Cam Newton on the open marketplace.
Which is amazing.
I couldn't believe, like, how is there no interest? Especially if Cam Newton is willing, now that we see he was willing to take a lesser deal compared to what market value for a player of his caliber would be. Why would there be no interest in that? Like, if you're the LA Chargers, you got no interest? Like, none?
Well, they probably have
like
no interest.
The Oakland Raiders
signed
Marcus Mariota as their backup quarterback. Clearly, John Gruden's not sold on Derek Carr. You didn't have any interest in kicking the tires on Cam Newton? Like, none? Like, some of that stuff just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I think it makes sense. I mean, when you look, I don't think there's a lot of head coaches that are capable or feel like they're capable of handling a personality like Cam Newton. I mean, that's not easy for a lot of these guys, because it's not, I mean, there's some bad coaches, let's face it. And I think the Chargers would have been perfect.
So do I.
But yeah, but if all of a sudden Cam Newton, I mean, they just drafted Justin Herbert with the 6th overall pick. I'm sure at some point they'd like to transition him into the starter's role. Is that possible if all of a sudden Cam Newton's healthy and winning football games? No. They've already seen that. I mean, Tyrod Taylor's already happened. That's already happened to him before. So they can have him start the season, play, you know, however many weeks.
Right. And if he plays well, you continue with him. And if he doesn't play well, you go to Herbert.
You go to Herbert.
Yep.
Does that situation exist if Cam Newton is healthy?
On a one-year deal. It's probably not. I mean, on a one-year deal, I guess I look at it from the standpoint of the Chargers having a roster ready to win right now. Like, I mean, I understand that they drafted a quarterback with the 6th overall pick, but if Justin Herbert doesn't see the field this year, it's not the worst thing in the world. I mean, we saw Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs do the exact same thing with Pat Mahomes, who was a top 10 pick. So it's another one of those things. I feel like with Cam Newton making $2 million on a base salary, I think it's incentives that takes it up to $7.5 million. There really was no downside to that proposition. If he gets hurt, who cares? If he doesn't perform, you can bench him. It doesn't matter. To me, on a one-year deal, I don't know. It feels like a proposition that was too good to pass up for teams that have question marks at the quarterback position.
And of course, the team that didn't pass it up is the team that you would expect to pull the trigger on that, and that's the New England Patriots. Here's Adam Schefter, SportsCenter. Will Cam start Week 1 for New England?
But I do think in typical Patriots fashion, they'll have what they call a quarterback competition. But to me, if Cam Newton picks up this offense quickly, and it's going to be challenging because he's stepping in late in the game, hasn't worked with this verbiage, doesn't know this offense just yet, there will be a lot to learn. But if he can do that, there's no reason that he shouldn't win the starting job over Jared Stidham. I do think, like I said, the Patriots are never one to just award starting jobs and say, this is our guy. And I don't think we'll hear Bill Belichick say, we have found a new starting quarterback in New England. But I think everybody knows what Cam is capable of. And if he plays to those capabilities and picks up the offense, you would think he'd be the guy in New England. I think that Brian Hoyer is a guy that the Patriots like and respected. I think they still are high on Jared Stidham. But again, this is the 2015 NFL MVP who turned 31 last month.
But that's the problem, though. I mean, how many times did we have this conversation going back and forth? And we said this months ago. I mean, the sexiest place for Cam Newton to end up just for... I mean, storyline and everything else would be New England.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, brand-wise, trying to sell tickets, that would have been the Chargers. But, I mean, who knows? I mean, who knows how much they really want to win, or do they want, you know, Herbert to come in at some point and get some experience? But, I mean, we went back and forth, you know, once they signed Hoyer, and would the Patriots take a step back? And you kind of went back to, well, if the weapons on offense weren't good enough for what a lot of people consider the greatest quarterback of all time, how are these weapons going to be good enough for Jarrett Stidham? They're probably not.
Nope.
Because he's not an overly athletic quarterback.
You don't even know what he is.
No, you have no idea what he is. You're just going on the fact that if Bill Belichick says he's going to be good, then you got to believe him because he's Bill Belichick.
Right. That's the only thing you have to buy into Jarrett Stidham right now. Is
yeah, but to the original,
Belichick.
But to the original point, how we opened the show, now all of a sudden you add the element of Cam Newton being able to run the football with the weapons that they have, with all of a sudden, you know, their center coming back healthy, their left tackle healthy. I mean, now, I mean, with that defense, that team becomes scary. I mean, how much better now are your wide receivers, because you got to account for Cam Newton running the football.
It's a totally different football team. If he's
totally
healthy
different.
And close to what he was, this is a completely different football team. And I'll tell you, and I'm not trying to incite anyone, and I'm talking to you as a Jets fan and the other Jets fans, I would be beside myself if I was a Jets fan right now.
I think the Jets fan should be optimistic. You should be excited about what happened last night. You're one step closer to having a competent head coach.
But that's, again, a negative, because now all of a sudden – my quarterback has to have another head coach, another system going into year four.
I mean, the biggest question mark about the Jets team is doesn't have anything to do with the guys that actually play on the field. The biggest question mark is whether or not you have a good head coach.
Which is a problem that you could have solved when Mike McCarthy wanted the job. But you chose to go with Adam Gase.
I mean, I'm not well trying played. To force you to relive that decision, Rick. I just think that's I mean, when we have this offseason with so much noise and everybody talking about what's going on with Jamal Adams and wanting to see where Sam Darnold's going to be at in year three. I think the biggest question for the Jets is whether or not you have a good head coach. And we thought that this could be a year where the Jets would compete in the AFC East. We said that they needed to take that next step. They needed to seize the momentum that they captured in the second half of last year going 6-2. And now with this move with the Patriots and Cam Newton, I don't know how you could look at the Patriots and say that they're not a playoff team if Cam Newton is healthy the entire year.
I mean, the odds were in their favor to go to the playoffs before this signing. I think they were like minus 160 to go to the playoffs, and now they're minus 250. So they're a prohibitive favorite to get into the postseason, and now they're the favorite to win the division as well. And if he's healthy, you understand why. He makes them a completely different football team.
You're exactly right, Dave, but then you also factor in the Buffalo Bills and what they're doing with their program building. I look at this situation right now. I don't know how the Jets finish better than third in the division. I just don't see it.
I mean, not to mention the fact, I mean, who's the quarterback that you consistently compare Josh Allen to?
Cam Newton.
So if Cam Newton's healthy, Cam Newton's better than Josh Allen.
Yep.
So, I mean, they had some, I mean, the Patriots had some huge losses on defense, but they still have one of the best secondaries in football. So, I mean, now, I don't even know what to say, Dave. If he's healthy, he's going to make, I mean, he makes the offense instantly better. He makes their running game instantly better. They already had a good running back room. Makes them all instantly better. I think he makes
Rick
N'Keal Harry a better wide receiver.
Rick,
talking about now.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm just sitting there thinking about both of these teams. Like, the Jets' calling card, their identity is on the defensive side of the ball. The Jets' best defensive player is disgruntled. He's got beef with the organization. Look at how the Patriots and the Bills are built. Both of those teams' identities are on the defensive side of the ball, and both of their defenses are better than yours. And then you look at the offensive side of the ball. I mean, are you really going to make an argument that the Jets' offense is better than the Bills or the Patriots?
No. No. You could probably make the argument that Miami's defense could end up being better than the defense. If there's no Jamal Adams on the Jets.
Yeah.
Look at their secondary.
Yeah.
Not to mention they signed Kyle Van. I mean, it's frustrating, man. I don't know. I mean, just when you thought it couldn't get worse, it got worse.
This is not good.
This is not great, no.
No, there is no positive spin you can put on this if you're a fan of the Jets. There's not. I mean, this is just a bad situation for the Jets and their fans.
And he's only 31 years old.
Yeah.
So God forbid all of a sudden he comes back healthy and they win the division. He has a great season.
Contract extension.
And then they get busted for cheating. It's $1.1 million and they lose a third round pick. Oh, by the way, they're going to get a compensatory pick for losing Tom Brady. And if they decide to move on from Cam Newton, they'll get another third round compensatory pick in 2022.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we talking about?
And it happens at the same time. So the you know, cheating and all that gets completely swept under the rug.
Well, and not even the cheating. And also, Robert Kraft's little unhappy ending is going to go to appellate court. That's not over yet. But no one's talking about that because they just signed Cam Newton.
Right. All right. Let's hear from the people. 800-919-3776. You'd like to hear from your people, right, Rick? I would think.
I heard from my people last night. I would love to hear from my people.
Because misery loves misery. Company.
Loves it.
Is there an alarm going off?
Yes. The Lumberjack games. That's my car, yeah. That is my car.
Your car alarm?
Going off right now. Yeah, yeah. They're probably cutting a tree right next to them. I wouldn't be surprised if a branch fell on the tree at this point.
Oh, my God.
This mayhem has taken over the DiPietro household.
It really is. The chipmunk is
I can't even tell you. They got chipmunks. I got a hawk. It's like Busch Gardens.
In charge admission. Get onto your
I got
block.
My own right. Disney bubble. I got my own Disney bubble going on in Long Island. I got animals. I got lumberjack games. You name it, I got it.
Let's go to the calls. 800-919-3776. Now, will anyone take the remote and turn the alarm off on the car?
You'd think. You would think that at some point my wife would grab the remote.
Like, I think Cassie's the greatest, but at some point she won't take the
I'm telling you right now,
Bob, and
I'm at
turn
a point. I am at a point where I may go out and start fighting people. I've wanted to this entire time. They broke a window last week. I got the one guy.
Who broke
the
a
grass
window?
They did. They broke
the
window.
You say they. Who is they?
The landscapers broke one of my windows. They used the weed whacker too close to the window and shot up a rock that completely shattered the entire window.
Did they just break a sprinkler head?
Yeah.
They cut off a sprinkler head, broke a window.
Can,
I got
can
one
you
guy,
get a new landscaper?
I'm on it. I got one guy who's a little obese, who refuses to use a stand-up mower, only uses the sit-down. I got sopping wet grass, and he's bombing around, doing donuts in the grass. So I got big, giant tire marks in the grass. I almost pulled him off the other day and tried to fight him. Today may be the day.
Well,
today
I don't know that fighting is necessary, but maybe looking to replace the landscaper could be something in your not-so-distant
I got to set the tone, Dave. I have to set. Today may be the
all
day.
Right.
One of you may get a phone call around 1:30-ish that I need to be bailed out of jail.
I got you.
That's where
I
this is
I got bail
headed.
Money.
That's where this is headed. If that alarm goes off one more time, I am going to run. I'll be gone for a couple minutes, and when I come back, we can discuss what happened.
All right, let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira, good morning. You're first up. I'm sure you're in a great way on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, just thrilled, Dave. Good morning. Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Rick. Rick, you know, do me a favor. On the next break, just jump in the pool and just cool off all of us because yeah, you know what? I'm not shocked, not surprised. I never thought Stidham. I thought it was going to be Dalton all along. But, you know, Belichick wasn't going in with Stidham. This reminds me so much of Glenn Foley and Vinny Testaverde in 98. And you know what? Even if Stidham starts, Newton's going to end up taking over by week two or three if he doesn't win the starting job over the summer. And you know what? The Pats, I had Bills, Pats, Jets, Dolphins before this even happened. Now I'm just reversing it. I'm going Pats, Bills, Jets, Dolphins. But, you know, the thing with Adams, too, I mean, you know what I compare last night to? Remember the Seinfeld adventure when Costanza was trying to get fired from the Yankees and he took the World Series trophy?
Yeah, and he was driving around the parking lot, sure.
That's what Adams is kind of getting to. It's a joke. But you know what, Newton, you know, good for him. You know, listen, I don't want to see him not succeed because I always like to see players have a comeback, and he's been hurt and this and that. I think he's a good guy. He's got to get his head together, and I think the Pats are probably a perfect organization. It's just unfortunate, Rick. We've been beaten down as Jets fans for so many years. It doesn't even rattle me. You know, I mean, I'm disappointed, but I'm not shook up because it's kind of expected. Because I never expected that Bill Belichick is going to let his guard down and go into a season without a quarterback. So, you know, whatever.
It's amazing, Ira. It's amazing. No, the whole thing's amazing. I mean, he waits, times it perfectly. He gets him. I mean, they were already financially strapped. Gets him on a team-friendly deal, to say the very least. I mean, we get beaten down as Jets fans. We're upset. Rob Kraft gets beaten down, and he's happy.
Well, how about this? We're fighting to keep our safety after 3 years, who's probably the best safety in the league. And you look at Patrick Chung and McCourty, that tandem is back in the safety. They're playing safety for the Pats for close to 10 years. You know, so, you know, they, you know what, they, I hate to say this because I dislike the organization, I'm jealous, but they got their act together, they got the system in place, and Belichick is the best. So,
Hopefully they go 0-16, but I expect to see a Buck-Patriots Super Bowl. That would be amazing.
Ira, you seem, even you, who's usually so cool, calm, and collected, seems a little frustrated and on edge today.
Just a drop, but it's, you know, I think Rick got me wild up. I was going to come on and say even keel, but after listening to Rick's open, he got me going. And I can't jump in any pool because my pool is closed. I'm out of work. So, Rick, do me a favor. Take a dip for me.
Take a cold shower, cool down a little bit. I've been in that pool enough.
I can't believe the pool. This.
Yes, you can. Boy. Of course you can.
I mean, I can, but I can't.
This is what, but Dave, this is what happens when you have an organization like the Patriots, right? Is you have the opportunity to get players like Cam Newton on a team-friendly deal because of what you have to offer Cam Newton.
Hmm.
Cam Newton wants to be a starting quarterback. He'll have the opportunity to be a starting quarterback. More importantly, he wants to get a huge contract. So he's relying on the fact, I'll take the pay cut now. This team doesn't lose, so we'll win games, and Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick will get the best out of me. And in the long term, yep, it'll pay off.
And if he can prove he can stay healthy the entire year, it's going to be a huge payday in 2021.
Yep.
Huge. No,
it's why Teddy
about
Bridgewater
it.
Stayed. I mean, that's why Teddy Bridgewater stayed in New Orleans with Sean Payton.
Yep.
And look how that worked out.
Went 5-0 as a starter and what? Cashed in on a $60 million deal over 3 years?
And then you got the polar opposite where our best player doesn't trust the head coach, so he wants out.
Yeah, doesn't it feel like the Jets are clearly the most dysfunctional team in the AFC East? Like, we used to be able to say that about the Miami Dolphins, maybe about the Buffalo Bills 5 years ago. But now it just feels like clearly the Jets are the most dysfunctional team. And I know it might feel like an unfair shot just because of all the noise surrounding Jamal Adams. But, I mean, when you look at the head coach and general manager tandems in that division – you probably have the least amount of confidence in the Jets.
Is it even close right now?
The only one
that you could debate is Miami, just with Chris Greer and Brian Flores, but I don't know how you couldn't like what they've done over the course of the last year and a half.
They were expected to stink last year. They won 5 games. Now they go and potentially get the best quarterback in the draft.
They beat the
Jets.
Their
secondary is terrific. You like the coach. You like the GM. I mean, I guess there are question marks, Chris, but if you offered me what Miami has right now or what the Jets have right now, I don't even think it's up for debate.
I'm agreeing with you, Dave. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate a little bit, but I mean, I threw the question out there just because it feels like one of those things where the Jets were supposed to be ahead of the Buffalo Bills or at the very least the Miami Dolphins. And yet it feels like in terms of the organization's competency level, they're in the cellar of the division. And I don't understand how you could be in that place when you're supposed to be going into year three of Sam Darnold's tenure as the team's franchise quarterback.
I can explain it to you. Because you chose to hire a head coach that just got fired from a division rival, and then fire your GM after he went through the draft and spent all your money in free agency. That's how that happens. And that felt like a very trollish rhetorical question you asked. I know what you're doing.
He's really on edge today.
I just want you to admit it. You know, the first step to recovery is just admitting it.
Yeah, you keep doing this. They're going to revoke my Jets fandom card. My Jets buddy's going to revoke my card at this point.
No, you can't get your card taken away. You're a legitimate Jets fan.
It's going to get it suspended. I got Pete calling me. Oh, look at the Patriots.
You know, we had Pete on as a guest, 4 months ago? And he was practically in tears.
Yeah, he was destroyed.
So and now all of a sudden now he thinks this is the greatest thing since sliced bread again.
Oh, yeah. And then he's got the Celtics and he's got the Bruins. I mean, he's still a little bit concerned about the Red Sox because they lost Mookie Betts. But, I mean, he's got 3 out of 4 is not too bad.
What do we have?
What do we have?
Yeah, what do you have?
Canty's got the Yankees. I mean, I guess we got the my biggest win so far is the Universal DH.
I mean, you don't
That's
have
a
the
big
Jets.
Win. That's a big win, though.
You don't have the Knicks. I guess you have the Islanders.
Yeah, we got the Islanders. They're in the mix if they can figure out, you know, hub cities and everything else. But it looks like there may be a CBA extension, which I love.
Right.
I told
I
you,
saw that.
Don Fear, man. It's what the
so
what
they
Major
did.
League Baseball
they did what
done.
Major League Baseball should have done.
Uh-huh. Exactly right.
Okay.
That's why the guy's one of the best in the business. Yeah, Dave, this is awful. I mean, I don't even know what else there is to be said. This is the worst thing that could possibly have happened.
Yeah. So, in you guys, opinion, Sunday. Where are the Patriots at in the AFC?
One. In the AFC?
Don't forget. AFC is loaded.
In the AFC.
AFC is loaded.
You know what? I don't AFC hear from you. Dave, you know, all of a sudden you laugh at the loaded AFC. That's three teams that, are terrific in the AFC at least now.
You wouldn't put the Texans up there?
If Cam is healthy. Yeah, again, we're going back if Cam is healthy. So relax. I mean, there still is some question marks, but I mean,
I think
healthy,
they're third in the AFC right now and could be higher.
Third. Wow.
Third, that's,
no?
I feel like that's more Belichick than anything else. I feel like, I mean, you have this infatuation with Bill Belichick.
Oh, it's hard not to, isn't it?
No, it is hard, but I mean, again, you have the emotional attachment of what he did for the Giants and everything else. I get it. I understand it. I mean, there are still some other teams. I mean, you got Kansas City's one, Baltimore's two.
I'd actually reverse that, but I agree with the top two.
How would you reverse that? Baltimore has one more playoff game.
Please explain that one to me.
I think Baltimore is a better football team.
You're losing. I mean, you've just lost more credibility. Kansas
How
City
have I lost
still
credibility?
Has Pat Mahomes, don't they?
I'm not saying that the quarterback's not better. I think from top to bottom, Baltimore's a better team than Kansas City.
In top to bottom, Baltimore lost to Tennessee in the playoffs at home. Okay, so I don't know how. I can't connect those dots.
I can't either.
That's fine.
I think you got the Super Bowl champions. That
well, you know what, Vegas just added Baltimore is the favorite to win the Super Bowl. But whatever, go continue through the AFC. So we have those two teams, whatever order you want to put them in. And then in my mind, you have New England.
I think it's the Texans and the Patriots right there, 3-4.
We'll see what Big Ben looks like. Pittsburgh, I mean, they had the worst quarterback situation outside of...
Don't sleep on Indy.
Well, then you have Indy. But there's not, I mean, as far as proven commodities are concerned, the NFC has way more proven commodities than the AFC does. I mean, yes. Indy should be better. Yes. If Philip Rivers has a good season, if Ben Roethlisberger is healthy and he has a good season, Pittsburgh will be better.
Right. And if Cam Newton is what he was, then New England will be good again.
Yeah, a lot of ifs.
Mm-hmm.
If ifs and buts were candies and nuts, you know what I'm saying? Like the NFC, your whole loaded idea, the NFC has proven commodities. The AFC has teams that we feel like could be good, but still, you don't know.
But we have no idea. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
On paper, they look good, but how many times we go win-loss on paper before every single season and some of the teams completely wrong?
But here's the thing. I think most of us thought that New England would be in the 10-win range, right? 10,
yes.
Maybe 9, worst case 8. So they just – you have to figure upgraded themselves at the quarterback if he's remotely healthy.
If he's remotely healthy.
If he's remotely healthy.
I mean, this is not like, hey, Cam Newton had surgery on his, you know, his left shoulder. He got shoulder on his. He's had multiple surgeries on his throwing shoulder, and Liz Frank surgery on his foot. I mean, if Bruno Mars has throat surgery and foot surgery, I'd be a little concerned about Bruno Mars's career. I mean, those are how he makes his living. I think he's going to be healthy. I mean, he looks great in those videos. I would imagine
he's got a lot to prove.
He's a perfect situation. I think this all of a sudden invigorates Josh McDaniels because this is something that I mean. The fact that he drafted Tim Tebow in the first round as the head coach of the Denver Broncos would kind of make you believe that this was something he's been thinking about, running an offense.
Yeah, the kind of quarterback he loves, yep.
Got the best out of Jacoby Brissett. Let's not forget that. Yeah, this is scary, Dave. If Cam Newton is healthy, this is real scary. For not just the AFC East, just for the AFC in general.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
I mean, Bill Belichick witnessed this firsthand. I mean, you saw what Baltimore did to New England. The way that Lamar Jackson can attack a defense. It's not like they're devoid of weapons. I mean, no. Their weapons are better than the Jets' weapons offensively.
Oh, no question.
I don't even think that's a question.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if Cam Newton is healthy, the Patriots are a double-digit win team, and they're in the postseason.
No doubt.
So, yeah, I mean, this is another one of those things. I just, you know, and looking at it from the local perspective, it's that much harder for the New York Jets, and it's going to be that much harder for Adam Gase. But nobody's going to give him a pass. I mean, if you were going to give him a pass as a head coach, last year was the year. Now there are expectations for the Jets. I mean, just the fact that Cam Newton's in your division doesn't change the fact that Jets fans are expecting this team to compete for the playoffs.
Well, let's take a break and come back. But here's the question.
That's really,
I'll ask you guys.
Dave, before you ask the question, isn't that really how you define dysfunction? We're sitting here talking about a team. Last week we went over, you know, strength of rosters. And where the Jets roster stacked up with the rest of the NFL. What were they, 27th?
28th.
Okay, 28th.
Giants were 27th.
So isn't the definition of dysfunction that all of a sudden in a season where your roster is ranked 28th in the NFL, that there's expectations that you should win? How do those line up?
This is year three of the rookie quarterback, who everybody thinks is going to be a good quarterback. This is year two of the head coach. I mean, the expectation is that right now the Jets should be in position where they can compete for a playoff spot.
I don't know how that lines up, though.
I don't know how it does either.
I mean, if the experts
there's no way you can convince me that they're any better than third in this division. There's no way.
Well, if the experts are saying that you have one of the worst rosters in the National Football League, and the fan base feels like you need to win now, how does that line up right?
It doesn't line up.
All right, boys, Cuddle Mary Trash for this Monday. Dave, quick question. Let me ask, as far as level of importance,
yes.
We're going to get to the Mets, I'm sure, right? Level of importance. Most important player on the Mets this season, you think?
I mean, I think you could argue. I mean, there's a bunch, actually. I think DeGrom is someone that you could talk about with that. I think Edwin Diaz is someone you could discuss with that.
But Tance is really important.
I think Cano is very important.
I feel like Cespedes' ability to play left field is going to be really important.
I think there's a lot of questions with the Mets. Like, the Mets could either be bad or really, really good, depending on some of these players.
If they're right, if Cespedes is healthy,
if they're right.
I don't disagree with you. I just think in order to get the best out of this lineup on a consistent basis, Cespedes is going to have to be able to play left field.
Mm.
He's going to have to be.
We have so many DHs.
You have so many DHs, but on top of that, I mean, you bring in Mariznick, you got Nimmo, you got Conforto, you got Davis, you got McNeil.
You know, I didn't realize they brought in Eduardo Nunez is on this team now.
But I mean, offensively, you're so like, offensively and defensively, if you could get Cespedes in left, depending on what they're going to do with Mariznick, I mean, he's probably your best defensive center fielder.
Mm-hmm.
Conforto in right, even if you got Nimmo in center. If you can get Cano to DH on a regular basis and have McNeil play second.
Yeah, if you can get Cano to DH, it'd be a tremendous advantage.
Because I would like to find a way to get J.D. Davis in the lineup.
I'd like to see Dom Smith in the lineup, too.
But I would like to get, I mean, J.D. Davis in the lineup would be nice.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, maybe they split time.
How much time are you splitting in a 60-game season? That's the problem.
Maybe J.D. Davis goes up against the lefties and Dom Smith the righties.
Well, Dom Smith, you don't want to play in left field. Let's face it.
No.
Come on.
No, I'm saying it's DH for these guys.
God, there's so many
really
DHs.
I don't really love J.D. Davis in left field either.
No, I don't like him. No, I don't like either of those guys in left field. That's why I keep saying, I mean, if Cespedes can play left,
it would be a big advantage.
Be a big advantage. All right, here we go. Cuddle Mary Trash.
DHs. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, here we go. I've decided today's CMT is going to deal with pressure. And what I mean by that is most pressure for this upcoming season to win.
To win.
To win. Okay? So we're going to start to keep with baseball. I know it's only 60 games, but there's still going to be some pressure because there is going to be a World Series. I'm going to give you the Yankees.
And the Dodgers.
The Dodgers. I was going to put in the Astros for reasons, you know, dealing with the fact that they were cheating. Kind of proved to people that they're actually a good team. But I said, you know what? I want to get the Mets involved.
Oh, come on.
I'm going to throw in the Mets.
Come on. What are you doing?
Come on.
Look at this roster. I mean, how many times have we said they got to win now?
What are you doing?
You don't think there's any pressure on the Mets to win now?
Pressure, maybe, but no.
You could have no Stroman.
I feel like the Astros would be better.
I agree.
In that conversation.
I could not agree more.
All right, so we'll go Yankees, Dodgers, Astros.
You are playing with your heart here, pal.
No, the Mets have pressure to win. Are you nuts? What is this roster going to look like?
Nobody expects the Mets to win.
They expect to win.
They may expect to win.
If the Mets go 35 and 25,
are a wild card team and lose, no one's going to freak out. If the Yankees go 35 and 25, they're a wild card team and they lose, people would go nuts.
All right.
Including me.
I'm just the host.
One of those people.
I'll give you Yankees, Dodgers, and Astros then.
Oh, now you're changing it.
I'm open for change. I'm very versatile.
This is something you started with Saturday, on Saturday with Cassie, and now you're changing it spur of the moment?
Well, when I'm sitting here looking at my notes and I have Yankees, Dodgers, Mets, and Astros, and I chose Mets instead of Astros, and you guys yelled at me, I just go to Astros.
I'm yelling at you. I just think you made a misstep.
I didn't make a misstep. Before the pandemic, before the pandemic and everything happened, we talked about it on this show. This was their year to win because the team would look completely different. You added Stroman at the deadline.
You lost your second best starting pitcher.
Yeah, and he's probably gone, period.
All right, listen, I don't want to argue. I just want the three teams, Yankees, Dodgers, and who?
Astros.
Okay. Chris, would you like to start or would you like me to start?
Yeah, I'm going to lead off, Dave. I am going to marry the Yankees in terms of pressure to win.
Marry them.
They got to get something done, Dave. I mean, you went out and you spent $324 million on Garrett Cole to be your ace of your staff. This is Tanaka's last year. This is Paxton's last year. Like, you got to be able to get something done. And even though it's a truncated season, it just feels like it sets up for you to be able to maximize your strength, which is the bullpen. So I'm all in for the Yankees to win this year. Marrying them, I'm going to cuddle the Dodgers.
Bombs,
if not now, win for the Dodgers. And I'm going to trash the Astros just because I don't like the Astros. I don't even throw them in the conversation.
I couldn't agree more. I think the most pressure is on the Yankees.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Well, I'll marry them. Dodgers are second, so I'll cuddle into them.
And hellacious seeds.
And the Astros have pressure, but not the same as those other two, so I'll trash them. Couldn't agree with you more. Chris, I think you're dead on accurate with that.
Listen, I don't want to do this because I'm a team guy. I don't want to air anyone out. But when I was making the final decision for who to go with, the third team being the Mets or the Astros, there were potentially two people in studio that said Mets instead of Astros.
There's only two people in studio.
Well, then this, I'm not going right. to. I don't want to cast any aspersions, but you do right. the math.
Not casting anything.
You can figure it out.
Well, that's
snitching, little snitching in there, a little
yeah. That's not a great look for them. So you were here's the truth. You were hesitant. You were uncertain. You knew putting the Mets in that grouping was not appropriate, and you looked to others to help you decide what to do, and they led you astray. Is it fair to say that's what happened?
It's fair to say that I had some outside influence, yeah. Yeah, the conversation around the Mets probably changed when they lost Syndergaard, but before Syndergaard went down with the Tommy John, that was the conversation. It was pressure this year to win.
All right, well, he didn't go down to Tommy John at 11:41 this morning, so I don't know.
No, I understand that, but he's still going to be gone. He's still going to be gone. Stroman is going to be gone.
Okay, let's move along.
If you're going to win, talent-wise, you're set up to win now.
Maybe they will.
I'm not saying if they will or if they won't. But the team is going to look a lot different after this season.
Yes.
Is the
Hopefully
point.
With a new owner.
All right. Adam Gase, Matt Patricia, Bill O'Brien.
Gase, Patricia, O'Brien. Pressure. Now, this is this year pressure, right?
This is this year, yeah. Pressure. Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to marry some most pressure. I'm going to marry Adam Gase as having the most pressure.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I mean, there's a chance that if the Jets are bad this year, Adam Gase is never a head coach again in the NFL. And more than a chance, probably a pretty good chance of that. So I'll marry Adam Gase with the most pressure. I'll say Bill O'Brien is second.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
So I cuddle that.
That's a terrible call.
It's not terrible. A terrible
right?
call.
I'm
and
sitting
I'll tell
there
you
thinking
why.
About
terrible.
This, right?
Terrible
right,
call.
Rick?
And I'll tell you why. Because I think it's already understood that Matt Patricia is not going to be there long-term with Detroit. They're going to move on from him after this year. So I don't see that as a lot of pressure. I look at that as a foregone conclusion. Patricia, trash, Detroit.
No, now he's making up his own rules.
You can't twist the game that way, Dave.
I can do whatever I want.
Okay, all right. Even though it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, I feel like clearly on this list of coaches with the most pressure to win, Matt Patricia is at the top of it.
Yeah, you can marry
three
Patricia.
Games last year. They were talking about firing him this offseason. Like, this could be a situation
exactly.
where Matt
it's
Patricia
done. It is done. He's gone.
Well, I just feel like he's got the most pressure to win just because he's got the hottest seat coming into this season. I think his
I
seat
completely
is clearly
agree,
hotter than Adam Gase's.
Dave's so making up his own rules.
Yeah, so I'm going to marry
Matt. I don't see things as they are. I see things how they could be.
like
I'm
you
the,
could
I'm the Bobby
be,
Kennedy
like you
of
could,
this game, okay?
Like, you could be an underwear model.
Well, I don't
but
see
the
that
reality
as,
is you're
as
not
realistic.
but you're
be
not.
A swim shirt model.
I could be a swim shirt model. Swim shirt model.
Yeah, so I'm marrying Matt Patricia with the most pressure to win, and I'm going to cuddle Adam Gase.
Bombs and fallacious seeds.
With pressure to win, and I'm going to trash Bill O'Brien with pressure to win. I mean, the owner let him trade DeAndre Hopkins for a negative contract in David Johnson and a second round pick. What are we doing? So the owner is giving Bill O'Brien carte blanche, GM, head coach. It really isn't a whole lot of pressure for him, especially since he's won the division 4 out of the last 5 years.
Yeah, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus. I was going to actually, instead of Bill O'Brien, I was going to bring an NBA into the NFL conversation, cross-pollinate. I was actually going to give you Gase, Patricia, and Brett Brown.
Oh, wow.
And see how that changed things.
Yeah, unprecedented. Yeah, I don't think we've ever crossed over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was going to get crazy. That would have been a lot to handle.
Too much, maybe.
That gave Adam Gase a chance.
See, that again, you never know. All right, we'll do some GMs. You got Brody Van Wagenen. Mm-hmm. Again, remember, new ownership is coming. Dave Gettleman. Daryl Morey. Huh? Little NBA to the NFL.
I see what you've done here.
And Major League Baseball. That's Major League Baseball, NFL, and NBA.
It's the trio. All right, go ahead, Chris.
I am going to say the most pressure is on Brody Van Wagenen. I just feel like with moves that he's made the last couple of years, some of them have been hard to explain. And if the team doesn't have success, if they don't get into the postseason this year with new ownership on the way, it's probably likely that he's going to be out. He's going to have to show and prove. He's got to give new management some reason to want to hang on to him. And the 2020 season, you know, with everything that's happened, if he's able to have success this year, I think that would give him more consideration. So I'm going to marry that. I'm going to say the GM that's under the second most pressure is, I know this is going to sound crazy, but it's got to be Daryl Morey.
Bombs and fallacious.
I think Daryl Morey, with what he did with the small ball experiment with the Houston Rockets, making the commitment, trading away Clint Capella, and going with Russell Westbrook and James Harden and those guys being able to compete at a championship level with nobody on the court that's taller than 6'8", that's going to be tough to do. And we'll see what happens with the Houston Rockets in the last couple of weeks of the NBA regular season and on into the postseason. But I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure on him to be successful. And also keep in mind, you got to look at the backdrop of what he had going on coming into this season with everything that went on over there in China. A lot of pressure on Daryl Morey, so I'm going to cuddle him. And I'm going to trash pressure on Gettleman.
Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
All right, let me tag in here. And let me tell you that I think the one that has certainly a lot of pressure, but that if it goes poorly will still keep his job, is Daryl Morey. I don't see any way that Daryl Morey is relieved of his duties this offseason. So for that reason, I will trash pressure and Morey.
Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
And I now decide between Brody Van Wagenen and Dave Gettleman. But when you look at a new owner coming in to the mix here with the Mets, God knows what their thought is on Brody. So I'll agree with you, Chris, and I will marry Brody as far as the most pressure.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
And I still think there's quite a bit of pressure on Dave Gettleman. I think that the jury is still out, even though we all like him. I think the jury is still out somewhat on the quarterback. And I think that you have to make sure the secondary is better. And Bradbury's should be an upgrade, but there's some question marks around him. And I just think that the Giants have to be a better football team. And I think that falls at the feet of Dave Gettleman, not the coach this year. So I'll cuddle pressure with Dave Gettleman.
Bombs and fallacious seeds.
All right, here we go, boys. The last cuddle, marry, trash for this beautiful. We'll find out at 12:30 if it's going to be beautiful Monday.
Don't you dare.
I'm teasing it. I just teased it.
I don't know. It felt like you were taking it over. You want to do the weather today?
No, I have no wit. I'm all set with responsibilities. Okay. All right. Championship pressure. LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady. Drew Brees.
All right, I think it's my turn. I'll start here. I'll put Brady as the marry there.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Because I don't know how much more there is.
That's another awful call.
Why would you stop commenting before I'm done?
It's horrendous.
It's not horrendous.
It's horrendous.
You don't think there's tremendous pressure on Brady?
Yeah, there's tremendous pressure, but the head coach of the New Orleans Saints accidentally said that he hopes this is Drew Brees' last year.
All right, why don't you do it then?
I'm the host. You're supposed to do it. I'm pointing out.
To, but I'm not allowed to.
I'm just pointing out that this is horrendous.
It's not horrendous. It's not horrendous at all. You had the Mets in mixed in with the Yankees and Dodgers. That's horrendous.
I feel like Will Ferrell doing the Jeopardy skit right now on SNL.
If you'd get out of my way for a minute.
And I'm talking to Terry
Ferguson.
And
allow me to do it. You know what? I'm done. Go ahead. I'm just going to give the weather.
You're like a bad Sean Connery right now. No, finish.
I'm trying.
Well, go. Continue.
I'll marry Tom Brady for pressure. I mean, I'm watching Get Up the other morning, and the panel, Tenenbaum and Orlovsky, say that if Tampa Bay doesn't win a Super Bowl, it's a failure for Tom Brady, which I don't agree with, but I still think the pressure is tremendous on Brady this season.
Okay. Speaking of Tannenbaum, by the way, did you see Tannenbaum drinking a smoothie out of the blender?
And then you see the microphone didn't work right after that? And did you hear what Greeny said? He goes, I'm thinking something happened with the smoothie. I blame the smoothie for that. I'm marrying Brady pressure. I'm cuddling LeBron pressure.
And hellacious season.
And I'm trashing Brees pressure. Because I don't think that Drew Brees is a great quarterback by any stretch. So I don't expect big things from him. I understand the team is good, and I think they will be good. But I don't look at a ton of pressure on Brees.
Well, one man's trash is another man's treasure. I am marrying pressure being on Drew Brees to compete at a championship level.
We
saw his backup, Teddy Bridgewater, go 5-0 when he had an opportunity to start last year. We all agree that the Saints have one of the most talented rosters top to bottom in the NFL. The only question is Drew Brees going to be able to play at a high enough level to get them to the big game? And keep in mind, the last couple of trips to the postseasons for the Saints, they ended because Drew Brees made mistakes. So I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure on Drew Brees. And guys, let's consider this. This is also going to be Drew Brees' last year. Sean Payton said that earlier in the offseason. So, I mean, I think there's pressure on him to win. I'm going to cuddle pressure on Tom Brady
Bombs
to win.
And hellacious seeds.
And my logic is simple. It's we want to know who's more responsible for the two decades of success up in New England. Is it Belichick or is it Brady? Well, I guess we get a chance to see the real-life experiment and see how one fares without the other. So I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure for Brady, especially with the weapons that he has to work with in Tampa. And I'm going to trash pressure on LeBron to win, not because there's not any pressure, but just because I think clearly he's third on this list when you look at the other two guys. He's always going to be the second best player in the NBA's history. So, I mean, I don't know how much pressure is on it.
And there you go, boys. Although Dave was very average, to say the very least, that was
a Monday edition of
CMT.
Question for you quickly, Rick. Don't wax poetic about it. Just answer it. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm going to offer you Tampa Bay and New England in the Super Bowl. You take it?
No.
You wouldn't want any.
No, I don't want to see New England in the Super Bowl again. Okay. Are you nuts?
Well, I think there's something enticing about that matchup, though.
Yeah, it's enticing, but on a Monday, the day after Cam Newton signs with the Patriots, that is not something I'm... Are you trying to make me just
I'm asking
end it?
A question.
No, you're not asking. You're poking
very
at
sensitive.
Me.
You are very sensitive.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, fellas. Monday edition of Knobservations. And as we like to do, Dave's been diligently doing his work.
I have.
Some air quality conversation. We're going to go to a live looking at the weather with one David Rothenberg.
The weather outside is weather.
All right, we were questioning what exactly is air quality index? Well, when the AQI is in certain ranges, it will change how you're feeling, as a matter of fact. So 0 to 50 is considered good. 51 to 100, that's moderate. 101 to 150, unhealthy for sensitive groups. 151 to 200, that's flat out unhealthy. 201 to 300, very unhealthy. And 301 to 500 is actually, in fact, hazardous. So with that being said, the weather today, partly cloudy, although it looks like the sun will peek out more later on in the afternoon. Sunset, 8:31. Chance of rain, 20%. Humidity, checking in at 56%. Wind out of the northwest at 10 miles an hour. Feels like 84. Precipitation, already we've seen a little bit of rain in some areas, 0.3 inches. The pressure, is at 29.81. Visibility, 10 miles. UV index is 7, which means, Rick, of course,
wear some sunscreen.
Yes. Air quality index, which we're all smarter about now than we were 30 seconds ago, is at 28, which means the air quality is right in that good area, 0 to 50. We live, we learn, and we move on.
Nicely done, Dave.
Dave, that was fantastic. Have you guys noticed that, though? One of the crazy things that's happened since this whole pandemic and self-quarantine and everything else, like some of the pictures of, like, the canals invent, like, the water quality, how much better the water looks.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Have you seen, like, shots of India now with the lack of pollution?
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's great.
Some good news, I guess. All right, boys, the game show that has swept the nation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually getting phone calls from TV networks. Actual phone calls.
For a full half-hour show.
Full half-hour show.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, LeBron got an hour. They're going to give me a half hour to play this wonderful game. Dave Rothenberg currently holds a 2-0 lead over one Christopher
King. And this is best of five, and then it resets, correct?
Best of five, and it resets. Dave won on Friday. So, David, you will control the board on this Monday.
All right, I look to close out on Christopher Canty, looking to sweep him, in fact. Chris, why don't you do the honors and start out here?
I'm going with 8:23 p.m. last night. That's what time Ricky went to bed.
8:23. He said with tremendous conviction, by the way.
Very confident.
8:23. Weekend, Sunday. Might have watched the decision with LeBron. Cam happened. I'm going to say 8:24, final answer.
8:24 to 8:23. Christopher, I like where your head was at. Dave Rothenberg, you win this Monday last night.
Disgusting. Yes. Disgusting.
This might be the best thing I do.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
What time did you go to bed?
Last night was a 10:48er.
Oh, my God. What happened?
It's not fun.
Yeah, it's not fun. You know what happened.
I figured it would be later, but I didn't want to go too much later where should have went a lot later.
You know what he's doing? It's almost like a pitcher in spring training. He's stretching himself out. He's getting ready for the start of sports. So once or twice a week, he's going to have to give like a 10:30 bedtime.
I don't want people to think that I'm just an infant. No, yesterday was like you had the decision, and then you had the news come down, and then I was getting text messages as we went back and forth.
That's right.
It was a nightmare.
But that's
friends in
late.
Boston mocking me. It was, yeah, that was like rave worthy.
Yeah.
That was like a 28-year-old Rick DiPietro. Night on the town.
Well into the 10 o'clock hour. You almost saw the calendar flip to June 29th.
Although I will say this, since being married, and it'll be 11 years coming up here soon in July, I always used to, regardless of time, whenever there was a night out with the wife, I would always, and I know, Dave, you can speak to this because you have a wife as well. You try to time it perfectly with the amount of drinks your wife has had. Like, you get that, like, 1.5 drinks where she's, like, rubbing your leg under the table. You're like, okay, this is the time. But once you get past that point and she finishes that second drink, then it's, like, it's a write-off. Then, God forbid, you get to a third drink. Then forget it. Now I got to carry her in, and that's just brutal.
Yeah, that becomes difficult.
All right, here we go, boys. Little observations. We'll start off with some good news. Get everyone in a good mood on a Monday,
nice.
Especially Christopher Canty.
Nice.
According to Woj, free agent guard J.R. Smith and the Lakers are working through final steps of a deal today, and he will be added to the roster for the Orlando restart.
Terrible.
Good news, Canty.
Will anybody ever forgive J.R. for what he did in 2016?
No, clearly LeBron has.
LeBron will. They go on bike rides. He loves J.R. Smith.
Is he really forgiving him, though?
What is he doing?
Really forgiving him?
Well, that's J.R. Smith.
Like I was watching it last night on SportsCenter. They were talking about that game being one of LeBron's top 10 performances in his career.
He was amazing in that game.
And it was wasted.
Unbelievable.
It was
wasted. Could LeBron James be one of the greatest success stories? You've ever seen?
I don't think there's even a question.
Absolutely.
I don't think it's a question.
I mean, it came from nothing.
From nothing in Akron, Ohio.
Right.
To a nothing, billionaire.
No dad. I forget also what he's done for, I mean, what he's done for Rich Paul. And Mav Carr. How smart
Randy.
Was he, though? Like, they made a point last night watching the decision. It's like, usually, like, you get to a point, you make all that money, and you take your buddies with you, but they're just, like, to hang out with you. You don't usually, like, how many people empower their buddies? Like, no, you're going to go work at
Nike.
Yeah, you're going to go work at Nike. You're going to go work at CAA. And then you learn how to be an agent. You learn how to manage all my other stuff. And then once you're ready, then
we'll start our own thing.
He's a great success story.
Yeah.
They just got another $100 million. His production company just got another $100 million investment.
Good for him.
It's crazy. And his style has come a long way, too, since the decision.
Yes, it has. I'm about to say. It has.
Definitely improved. More great news, guys. And this is more great news.
I love great news.
I gave Canty some great news. Here's some great news for Uncle Rick and his wonderful investments. Apparently, tiny antibodies found in alpacas. Yeah, I said it. In alpacas could help suppress a second wave of coronavirus.
Really?
And allow countries to safely lift lockdown.
Could you imagine if like all these research firms knock on your door offering you riches for the alpacas?
Could you imagine that?
Oh, how funny would
like,
that
I
be?
Just, like a month, 2 months from now, I have a special announcement. Midweek, and it's that I've retired.
Yes, I sold my alpacas and I don't need to work anymore.
That would be unbelievable.
That'd be great for you.
Yeah, it would be great for me, as a matter of fact. Here we go. Did this happen in Florida? Actually, before I do Florida, just more news. This is more sports related news. I'm not sure if you guys saw the story or not. Minnesota Twins will not allow two of their coaches to work games because of the coronavirus.
Why?
Because of their age. Bob McClure. Old. Yeah, Bob McClure and Bill Evers. McClure is 68. Evers is 66.
I can't imagine they're going to be the only pro sports team that's going to do that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. That's a big conversation.
You've got
in the
a lot
NBA
of
too.
Older coaches in pro sports, so yeah.
Well, especially because you're not having a bubble. I mean, Major League Baseball is not going to have a bubble situation. You can be traveling. Which, again, still does not make much sense if you're not going to have people
in seats.
It does
not make any sense.
At all. Okay, here we go. Did this happen in Florida? Man turns himself in for murdering his imaginary friend, Mr. Happy.
What?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Continue along, please.
No, that's the story. 37-year-old man entered the police station and turned himself in because he told police that he killed his imaginary friend, Mr. Happy.
Now, I feel like the police should try to keep this person behind bars just to try to get them some mental help. Because I don't know if having somebody like that out in society is safe for everybody.
Yeah, clearly he's not right.
He's clearly not right in the head, so we need to do something.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine that?
No. This must have been
the police.
This must have been some kind of imaginary friend. I killed Mr. Happy. I got to turn myself in.
I wonder what he did to that poor imaginary man.
What did he do?
The guilt
to poor
is
Mr.
conscious.
At least he's honorable.
He's eating me up.
Right. He doesn't have to live with the guilt anymore.
Oh, my God.
I'll say Florida. I just don't know.
Canty, what do you think?
I have no idea either. That could have happened anywhere, but I'll say Florida. I'll play a game.
Raimondo, what do you think? Florida?
Sure, flip a coin, throw a dart at the board, go with Florida. Why not?
You guys are correct. This did happen in Jacksonville, Florida. Jacksonville, Florida.
Wow.
This one actually has video involved. You guys can check this out if you'd like. You can find this on Twitter at WITZ Happening, WITZ Happening. Police are investigating a recent caught on camera incident in which a woman apparently kicks a pair of swans in a canal. Yeah, she just kicked two swans. Her argument was the reason why she did it because I watched the entire episode, and apparently this woman was trying to break up the swans. They weren't mating. They were fighting. So in order to save one of their lives, she decided that kicking them would be the best way to break them up.
She kicked the swans?
Yeah, she booted the swans, in the canal. Swans are dangerous. I wouldn't mess with swans.
Is this a Florida question?
No, it's just a story.
Oh,
so that's right. She was worried that the swans would do more damage to each other than her kicking them would.
Right.
Apparently, that was the mindset. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In order to save your life, I'm going to kick you in the face.
In the face.
Yeah. Right in the face. Yeah. Check it out. And the guy that tried to break it up, they threw him.
Hang on. So she kicked the swan in the face to try to break them up, and then a man jumped in to try to stop her from kicking.
No. The man came to say, no, don't kick the swan. And they threw him in the water.
Who is they?
A group of men threw him right in the water.
A group of men were defending the woman for kicking the swans and angry at him for breaking up the potential. Well, interesting.
So they threw him in the water. Mind your business.
The peacemaker always gets the worst of it.
Yeah.
Mind your business. Get in the canal. Santi loves this story. He's got the sound for it. Ray Santiago, you're a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. What is your running back doing during this pandemic?
Would you like to play the sound?
I would love to hear this.
Bro. Are you? Oh, bro, I'm low-key faded, bro. Are you? Oh, no, I didn't even end my stream yet.
He don't even sound low-key. He just faded.
He's faded. He forgot to shut his stream off. He's playing video games, and he forgot to shut it off.
Done, huh?
You're not low-key. You told everybody in the world because you didn't shut your stream off.
There's nothing low-key about that.
There's nothing low-key about it.
Dude, what was crazy, too, like the streaming video games and everything else, you guys know Ninja?
Yeah.
Who's famous for being... I looked at some number. He made $30 million.
It's a lot of money in video games.
I think that was for a year. I think it was last year he made $30 million.
That's quarterback money.
That's ridiculous money.
Yeah.
I get motion sick playing those games. I can't keep up. All right, boys, there you go. That is a Monday edition of Knob Servation.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.